Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I'm quite excited to be joined today by Westminster Kennel Club's Director of Communications, Gail Miller-Beischer. And Gail started this position last year, right, Gail?
That's right, 2015, actually.
Okay.
The very end of 2015.
Right. And it's been pretty dynamic, pretty exciting, lots of new and different. And so we're going to talk about some of that.
A lot new and different, actually, Laura. I had worked for Westminster since 08 and 09, but usually as a contract employee during the actual show in various capacities, such as communications manager and also helping produce segments for the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it became a full-time job, whew, look out.
Right? That's a whole nother gig, isn't it?
It is. It is a whole nother gig. And the job changed a lot from the year before because of the addition of Road to Westminster program that made it not just a 6-month gig, it made it a 12-month gig.
Right.
So with all the traveling and planning and editing of videos and posting on social and on our website, it's become a different kind of job, actually.
Right. Well, and I want to get to that in a little bit, but let's start. I want to give our listeners the 411. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I think in our sport, to know you is to love you. So let's know you.
Great. Well, I grew up in the sport like a lot of people. My family was very involved. My parents were breeders and showed and confirmation primarily. My mother was a judge of just our breed, Bearded Collies, my original breed, and she was a parent club president for many years, and this was all before email, so I remember her on long-distance phone calls.
Yes, yes.
With board members and all of that, right?
Yes.
So it was a different time, but also when I was starting in the breed, I was young, obviously I was a little kid, and the fun part was I was in a breed that was going through the miscellaneous class. So I got to experience and see how it changed, how the breed changed going through the class and then becoming AKC recognized and then becoming popular with professional handlers.
Mm.
So it was an interesting time for someone to really be involved in the sport. Then professionally, I showed my own dogs. I showed client dogs. Wasn't a professional handler, like an all-breed handler. I specialized in Beardies and other herding dogs, like a lot of shepherds and shelties and sheepdogs and that kind of thing.
Hairy dogs.
Hairy dogs. Yes, lots of hairy dogs. That's right. But I also enjoyed obedience and herding instinct testing and things like that. Agility hadn't really taken off when I was hot and heavy going every weekend to dog shows. So I never really stepped into that ring, but I love watching it. I just not sure I have the time now. So
right?
I feel like I've missed that boat, right? But maybe
I tell
someday.
You what, I have a couple different owners who have my dogs, wire haired pointers that have done ridiculous, like, you know, Mach 5 things. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I just...
Well, it is a whole other world, but I have to say, with the Road to Westminster, I've been exposed to a lot of the agility owners. I love interviewing them because they are the most passionate people in the world, I think. They're just oozing with love for their dog and passion for their sport.
Yep. They like their dogs. A lot of them just vibrate. They're so excited. I do. I agree with you. I think it's a lot of fun. So when did you make that transition from sort of breeder owner, handler, professional handler, and then going to work for the American Kennel Club, right?
Well, there was a big chunk in between. I actually had a real job, as I like to call it.
Yes.
I was in the advertising industry for 12 years. I was a broadcast producer of TV commercials and radio commercials for a long time, but I still maintained my club memberships. I was a member of the Bearded Collie Club of Chicago when I actually was reconnected with some AKC folks and who told me there was a job opening in the PR department, a newly forming PR department at AKC.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I'll check that out. I mean, I was always thought it'd be interesting to try and blend your professional life and your passion. That seems like a great thing to do. So that's when I went for the job interview from Chicago. I was in Chicago at the time working in advertising. And I just lost my last special. He was an older dog, and you know how that is.
Yeah.
So I was dogless for the first time, really, in my life.
I can't even imagine.
And so... It was shocking. It was a horrible experience to suddenly have lots of dogs, mm-hmm. always growing up with lots of dogs in your home and lots of responsibility of grooming and training to nothing. First of all, it was a little exciting because you could go to happy hour if you wanted to. But then there's the empty house when you come home. So that's no fun. So anyway, I went for the job interview, and as I said, it was a new PR department that was being put together at AKC, and this was in 2003, mm-hmm. and it was great. I was excited to come out to New York and move from Chicago to downtown Manhattan and start a new career, really, and it was interesting. I was told my mother had passed away by this point, and when I was interviewing, I was told that I was joining a family and going to be part of a family, and so that was nice. It felt like coming home because there were so many dog people there at the time in the New York office, and it was comfortable. It was good. Of course, now it's a very different place, but that was, as I said, many years ago.
Right, right. Absolutely. So then working with the American Kennel Club obviously put you in touch with Westminster Kennel Club. I know they work very closely together. So that was, and you mentioned working contract gigs and stuff in the last few years. So I think this sounds like a really kind of smooth path to this place that you're in now.
It's really funny when you reflect back on decisions and turns and twists in your life. It really, everything leads you right where you are. You're right where you're supposed to be, type of thing. Decisions that were made and things, just life events, led me to this place. And it's really, when you think back, it's really exciting. My undergrad degree was actually in mass communications, TV, radio, and I was on the path to be a newscaster. And then I decided not to do that. And I went into advertising and learned more about marketing and brand development and those types of things, and production, which is actually really helpful to me, was helpful to me at the American Kennel Club, but it was also has been really helpful here, obviously, getting the road to Westminster off the ground and being a one-man band. I mean, it's me and an assistant and a camera person, and that's it. So we're really lean and mean, and and then that it's all come together. But the AKC experience was incredibly helpful as far as learning the ins and outs of our, not just the sport. I've lived the sport. I've grown up in the sport, but learning public perception of the sport and learning what are the ways to handle those perceptions and what do we need to do to change them and enhance them and improve them.
So let's just jump right into the road to Westminster, because it's kind of a flashpoint. I know you're very excited about it and Westminster Kennel Club is very strong on it. And I hear from exhibitors that maybe aren't as excited, right? And
well,
so I really want to talk about that, and let's talk about why we're doing it.
Sure. So, well, Road to Westminster was Sean McCarthy, our president's brainchild. And when I started, he said we'd go to a couple shows locally. And then, of course, once I was hired, it became many more shows, not so locally. But that's funny how that happened. But part of it was because we were excited to have the opportunity to create content, even though they're 1-minute clip for social media and for the website, they need to be short, but quick little clips that are ways to celebrate our sport. And it's primarily for the general public. That's something a lot of the dog people and the experienced dog people may not know the background. So I'm glad mm-hmm. we're talking about
right,
it. It's about education and short little snippets, as it has to be, because otherwise it's not digestible for online or the web. So this is really just to enhance the sport in small chunks and, of course, to drive tune in for our dog show in February.
Right.
We want people to watch our dog show. We want them to, when they do turn in, say, oh, I saw a video about that person or that dog. Oh, there's that dog, Fifi, that I saw a video online, and now she's in the group. That's cool. Or she didn't win, or, you know, whatever
right.
the news is of the day. At least they feel they know a character, some of the characters. That's for the general public, so they can relate in some way, because otherwise, your dog shows are complicated.
Right.
They really are a very complicated sport. It's not like tennis, where the ball, if it goes out of the line, there's a point deducted or
right.
Oh, wait, is that, that's not right.
No,
is
no
it?
That's
okay.
not right.
So,
well, that's fabulous.
Okay.
No, I love that.
So I don't know my tennis, but okay. But I know how the dog show works. So yeah, you get what I'm saying. It's a simple thing. Whereas dog shows are not a simple thing. What is award of merit? What's select? What is reserve winner's bitch? You know, it's very complicated for a new person. So we try to make sure that we stay simplified and, of course, celebratory in nature. And then, of course, we do highlight breeders, even though some people have felt that we didn't do enough of those. Certainly we're interviewing breeders, and then we have 13 new videos land coming out from a single breeder in probably in a few weeks. So we do have a lot of breeder things too. But the things that we found were most popular, this is the other aspect, social media, as you're aware, Laura, is we track. You can track instantly.
Oh, yeah.
So we see which videos are getting traction and which aren't, which ones are popular and which ones are not. And so obviously we're going to lean a little towards the ones that are more popular because those are the ones people are interested in. And so some of those, a lot of those are just a really generic dog show 101 videos. And that's fine. That's fine.
Absolutely.
As long as we're reaching a new audience, I mean, obviously that's the bigger PR. We want to look good. We want people to tune in, but we also want to take care of the sport and do what we can to help the sport. And that's exposure.
Right. Public education. I think that is something that we get so wrapped up in our bubble, we forget public education is critical.
That's right. And sometimes in the dog world, people say, oh, they interviewed Joe. Well, you know, Joe this and Joe that, you know, people will be negative towards somebody just because they don't like them or they were beaten by them or they've heard things or whatever. And I think it's important, like you were saying, it's big picture. It's about educating and entertaining and making it relatable.
Sorry, I just really liked that image that you had of making the general public part of the picture. Right? Like they have then somebody to cheer for, or they have a favorite or whatever it is. And I like that image. I think that that helps a lot for the public.
What we've tried to do is be very careful that we use a published top 20, and we do interview dogs in the top 20, but we use what somebody else has published. And these are actual rankings. It's not something we've determined.
Right.
We go to shows where there are large, we can't afford to go to a lot of shows. So I go to shows that are big, like Houston, Santa Barbara, some of these bigger shows, and to try and capture as many dogs as I can
you know,
within a weekend.
Right.
And so, like, for example, we're going to interview a breeder, we're going to try and interview a junior, we're going to try and interview someone who has a connection to Westminster, someone who's either judged there before or won there before, so we can also hear from them what it feels like and just hear their experience. And so if we're interviewing a handler who's won Best in Show at Westminster before, it's not because we're trying to promote his current dog or her current dog. It's about what it was your experience. What is it like? That's always the question, you know, how did it feel? Those types of things. I mean, but I think that's important to hear, and I think it's fun to hear people
Absolutely.
That haven't been to the show.
We've
love
done it.
Hearing
Pure,
what it's like.
Pure Dog Talk has had several of those, and they've been very well received because
people love hearing it.
Absolutely. When Valerie tells you, warm the dog up in the back, okay, I'm paying attention, man.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
So for people who may not be able to come to the show, I think it's nice to hear somebody describe what it feels like when you hear the applause and it's something you've never felt before and you're in Madison Square Garden and it's an incredible experience. I just think that, that people who don't get a chance to come or new to the sport like hearing that. So I'm going to continue to interview those people that do have a connection. But we also interview people that we always try to promote juniors, as you know. That's always been a big part of Westminster. And again, it's public education, showing that young people can compete and be included in the sport, and that the young people that are participating are so dedicated and show their dedication and their passion.
Well, and talk a little bit, we're skipping around in our topics, but I think this is a really important one myself, so we're going to go right into it. Tell us about, you've upped some of the scholarships, both for juniors and also the award prizes for agility and obedience. Am I correct?
That's right. It's really exciting, actually. These are going to be things we're going to be talking about a lot this year, are the charitable offerings for the various sports and various dog, giving back to the sport, really, because up the scholarship money to $10,000, from $6,000 to $10,000 for best junior handler.
Which I think is
fabulous. Always, I think that's awesome. I wish they did it back when I was in junior garden.
Me too.
I didn't get that.
No, I didn't get to go to the garden. My parents wouldn't let me, so...
Well, I got to go and I placed, but I didn't get any money.
Anyway. Didn't even get to go.
But you know what? It's exciting, though. We're really happy to be offering, new last year were the aprons that say that you're a Westminster qualifier for all the entrants, which I thought was really a nice little touch. And then upping the scholarship money is a great thing. And as you said, we're also offering $10,000 to the, in the name of the agility champion, to the dog club of their choice, training club of their choice. And if they are not a member of a club or don't want to name one, they can go to AKC Humane Fund. So it's a win-win. And then
beautiful.
Also the same thing for the champion of the obedience championship. So they'll have the same thing, $10,000. It can go towards their obedience training club or other dog club that they're a member of, or again to the AKC Humane Fund. So it's giving back to the sport. I mean, that's one thing that as we talk to people who are new to the sport or even our TV partner, Fox Sports, they still cannot believe there's no money for winning at Westminster. There's no money involved.
Right.
They're like, wait, people do this
right.
for no money? Like, what is the point? Like, I don't understand.
Well, and I think that's really interesting topic. And I can remember when the American Kennel Club started the national championship show the first year. And those of us who had been in the sport for a long time were just horrified at the concept that they were going to offer a money prize.
It
was
such,
somehow yeah. unpure, you know?
Right. It's unpure till you're walking to the bank. And it's
Pretty much. Exactly.
So we're excited. We're excited about these new offerings.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've always been a charitable organization and education-based, which is why we always are really excited to have the AKC Meet the Breeds with us as part of Westminster Week,
right.
but also to retain a bench show status. We feel that that's just really necessary for the spectators.
Absolutely. I think that those are really valuable things the public loses out on when they don't have the opportunity to go to a bench show. I think we've talked about that a lot over the years. Losing the benching concept makes it so we don't have such a great way to reach out to the public.
Exactly. I agree. I think that having a nice organized way to find your breeds, but mm-hmm. also have the people there that can answer the questions and let you touch the dogs. I mean, that's where people change their minds. If you start walking down the rows and actually touching the dogs and finding out that the owners and breeders are passionate, dedicated people who just love dogs and will do everything, take care of them and make sure that the breeds are preserved and the welfare of the breed is in good hands, that's something you can read about it. But you need to see it and hear it in person. That's the opportunity that benching gives you.
That tactile experience. What does a Clumber Spaniel's coat feel like versus a Springer Spaniel? I mean, just that type of, you can't get that on the internet.
Exactly. I think most dog people are excited to have the opportunity. Yes, it's tiring and exhausting, but this is everyone's responsibility is to promote the sport and to promote their breed. I feel like we all are in this together. And so at a bench show or at Meet the Breeds, that's where you really can shine. That's when your club can shine, your breed can shine.
Absolutely. Okay, so on to the next one. Last year, we all know this was kind of a transition year. It was a big year, big changes. And I know that you guys worked really hard to do all the stuff that people said, what about? So let's talk a little bit about that. And let's talk about some of the implementation for this coming year and all of that sort of thing.
It definitely was a huge transitional year, and there were so many new elements to the show. I mean, from Fox Sports and their crew, production crew, to the digital crew, the Fox Sports web team, they manage our website. And then obviously the on-camera and the format of the show, there were just a lot of new things. A lot of learnings, obviously, for this year. And we've already had a couple meetings, and there were more planned, of course, to improve things and make them a little more towards the fancy. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we have two audiences to serve. We have the hardcore fancy, and then we have the new people that we want to be relatable and educational in our presentation. But we also have to know that we have to take care of the hardcore fancy that have been breeding forever and tuning in forever and want to make sure everyone's taken care of. I mean, it is a fine line to make sure that you're giving good information, but also attainable, understandable information. So for that audience too. So yeah, so we're looking at balancing that, making sure that the dogs, of course, this is their moment in the sun and making sure that everything's correct for them and the processes to get the information are all in check and in line. So a lot's been done. Our team's been expanded and yeah, there's nowhere to go but up, right?
So sometimes it feels
a kickoff that
way.
Year.
Yep.
It does. Yeah. I mean, it was a kickoff year and there were a lot of changes all at once, but that's okay. It's in good hands and we certainly understand the responsibility of maintaining the level of quality expected for a Westminster broadcast and dog show.
Excellent. I think that I'm excited to see this coming year and talk about some of the changes.
One thing I think that is worth just reminding people is that it's never going to be the same. It's a different network and a different personnel. It's not going to be the same. It was long. There were 30 years of the same. And I understand it becomes, you know, a habit, or you get used to the same thing.
Well,
so
we're not a sport that changes well.
I understand that. But just by the nature of changing the television partner, it's just going to change. Yeah. And now we're going to roll with it. And that's the broadcast. But of course, the event itself is exquisite as always. I think for those who come year after year, I think it just keeps getting better and better as far as an experience for spectators and exhibitors.
Right. So that was actually where, good segue. That was what I was wanting to touch on next, is talking a little bit about the physical setup, so there's the broadcast. Well, here's the dog show itself. And there were some changes made there also, some that people liked and some that people were less enthused about. So thought maybe we could touch on that a little bit and see kind of where are we going? How are things looking for this coming year's show in terms of the actual physical setup?
Sure. Well, the carpet is probably the only thing I'd heard a few things discussed and saw on social, but everything's on social. So,
pretty
well,
much.
Well, in 2017, good or bad, that's right. 2017, there was the carpeting was brand new, and we've used that carpet before, that type of carpeting before in years past. And in our experience, after cleaning and usage, it softens up and it will soften and has softened. So we think it's just one of those things. It was the first year for that. Actual physical carpeting.
Physical rug.
So that was...
And I know that part of that... I know that part of that is that we always have concerns as exhibitors that our dog's feet will slip on the carpet. And so I am presuming that part of that was to help make that not so much of an issue for the exhibitor.
Well, exactly. There have been, every year there's going to be some issue or complaint, I should say.
Yep.
I remember in past years we'd have to spray and use tacky paw and everything else on your dog's feet because they slid. They would slide at the garden. And so there's always, this surface has actually been very successful in agility just for that reason, because dogs can run and turn and be safe. So that is the thinking behind it, is making sure that when you're cutting those, making those turns, that you're not going to slip and fall, and that when you are setting your dog up, that they can hold their stance without slipping in the back.
Well, and I think that's interesting. I had no idea that that was the same surface that they were using for agility.
Yes, it is.
Very cool.
It is. And it's very popular with the agility people. Mm-hmm. They love it because their dogs are secure.
Right.
Secure on it.
Right. Excellent. Okay. So all the major stuff ahead, right? The meet the breeds and the agility and all of those things. Those are going to continue according to the way it's been done. Do we have any more exciting openings on that?
There are no new events, that's for sure. No new events this year.
We're packed full, right?
That's right. I think we've got enough going on. No, it's good. It's really exciting. Their obedience was so popular.
It was fun.
It is fun. And again, when I'm out on the road doing Road to Westminster interviews, we always interview obedience people as well. And the thing that people have told us is that it's exciting and fun, and they're thrilled that obedience is getting noticed. Now, some obedience people are a little hesitant about coming to the city and doing it in front of mass crowds like that.
Right.
But the people that do it and have done it are coming back. Like, they enjoyed it and they're coming back.
Wow.
So, and I think that's the excitement, is that that's the one thing we hear over and over for agility and obedience, is that, the New York crowd, it makes it a big difference. It's a different experience.
Right.
So I guess it depends on, you know, if you feel like your dog or you and your dog are up for that. I mean, it certainly is a unique experience.
It's a unique experience in the confirmation ring. So I can't even imagine in a performance situation. I'd be like, no, I'm out. I think those are some pretty brave people right there. That's my opinion. Oh my gosh.
That's true. Well, in agility, I think they take it on pretty well. I think it's only in obedience, but everyone keeps it fairly quiet. The crowd isn't disruptive. It's not that type of thing. It's, you know, at the end where we have the obedience rings, it's definitely a quieter vibe and all that, but it is still on the pier with the confirmation rings. So there's hooting and hollering, it's the poodle wins, so which poodle wins or whatever,
Well, and I had a great talk with David Haddock a month or so ago, interviewed him for the show and talking about it and some of his insight on that was really, really interesting and fun about how they developed that program. So
he was instrumental. It was all him. So he did a great job, and he really, I think, has listened to what the owners and spectators are interested in.
Yeah, no, I think had a lot of fun with that. So, all right. Well, Gail, any other excitement that you'd like to offer our listeners as we go forward?
I would only say that there are a few other things brewing that I can't talk about right now,
but secrets.
We'll be making sure that we roll those things out a little closer to this fall. We'll start promoting some new news, no new events, nothing like that, but just some nice little things that are happening in addition to the increased Best Junior Handler Scholarship and also the Agility Champion and Obedience Championship donations.
Right, which I still think that if you're a junior handler and you've just graduated high school and you're getting ready to go to college, $10,000. What can you do with $10,000? I know what I could have done with $10,000.
Laura, there is one more thing. I just remembered. Art contest.
Oh, yeah.
Art contest. Yes, we have already talked about that and put that press release out. The news there is that the $10,000, well, this year we increased it to $15,000 donation is going to be given to 3 different breed clubs for their rescue effort.
Oh my goodness.
Now this is,
so how does that work? How does that work?
Well, sure. Well, historically, we've given $10,000 proceeds from the poster and note card sales mm-hmm. to a dog-related organization. Mm-hmm. And so this year, and sometimes it's been dogs that are helping the military with PSDT issues, or there's also the Humane Fund we've helped in the past, you know, different mm-hmm. things, the Health Foundation, all of that. This year, we decided to switch it up and give to the parent clubs for breed rescue efforts, because it's always, you know, it takes a lot of money to do
yeah.
that.
So, and so how are we selecting?
Doing is the clubs can apply online, and then the Westminster Committee will review the clubs that have submitted applications and determine which ones they feel are most need, and
nice.
They have other criteria, and then there will be a presentation. So each club will get $5,000. So it's a total of $15,000
nice.
With $5,000 per club. And the deadline is September 30th.
Oh my goodness. So everybody out there, listen up. Talk to your parent club rescue and see about applying for this Westminster Kennel Club opportunity. That's pretty amazing. Excellent. Well, we will provide a link for that on the show notes, so that anybody who's interested can go directly to the application. Would that be okay, Gail?
That sounds wonderful. We'd love to get the news out. There was a letter sent by the American Kennel Club to all of the parent clubs, but yes, we want to definitely make sure everyone's aware.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank you so very much, Gail. I know that you are super busy and you just got back from Santa Barbara, so I will let you get on with your day. I'm happy that we had an opportunity for you to visit with our listeners.
Thank you so much. And please don't tell anybody I don't know my tennis regulation.
Fortunately, tennis has almost nothing to do with dog shows, so I think you're good. Thanks very much.
Very good.
Gail.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks a lot. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.